Cyanobert Camera Club welcomes this opportunity to act as your guide on a tour of historic New Jersey. This club, one of the many activities sponsored by the Organic Chemicals Division of the American Cyanobert Company at Bound Brook, New Jersey, is a member of the Photographic Society of America and of the New Jersey Federation of Camera Clubs. Your narrators are Dr. Frederick H. Adams and the speaker, Dr. Harold T. Lacey.
As this 13-star flag may indicate, we plan to tell you about New Jersey's important contribution to the founding of our country and to show you some of the landmarks of the Revolutionary period. This first flag of our country, made by Betsy Ross in Philadelphia, was first flown officially above the Middlebrook campgrounds in the foothills of the Watchung Mountains, less than 2 miles from the site of our Bound Brook plant.
Before we begin our tour, let us take a bird's eye view of the state. During the Revolutionary period, the most important part of New Jersey, from a military point of view, was the Central Strip, that corridor linking New York and Philadelphia, shown in black on the map. The red dots show the location of New York and Philadelphia. The orange dot indicates the location of our home base, Bound Brook. Today, this strip is known as the City Belt, and with the exception of Atlantic City, every major city in the state is in this corridor. This is the heart of New Jersey industry, and over it stretch the busiest highways and railroads in the world. Let us review briefly some important facts concerning our state.
As this comparison shows, New Jersey is small. It is the 46th in size in the country. In fact, it is so small that if all states were the size of New Jersey, the American flag would need some 400 stars rather than the 50 it has now. Surprisingly, in spite of its size, it is first in farm income per acre. Its 25,000 farms producing an annual gross of over $400 million. Because of this fact, New Jersey is known as the Garden State. Perhaps not so surprising, but a fact of which we are justly proud, New Jersey is also first in chemical manufacture, by manpower, by payroll, and by output. It is third in recreation and in travel volume. It is fourth among the states in income per capita. It is seventh in value of goods added by manufacture. And it is eighth in population.
New Jersey's strategic geographical position and its wealth of natural resources explain why George Washington and his army spent more than one quarter of the war on Jersey soil. The red dots on this map show the locations of the revolutionary battles, military headquarters, and encampments. 5 major battles and nearly 100 minor engagements took place between the Hudson and the Delaware rivers. The black dots show the locations of churches and educational institutions, and the yellow indicate places of general historical interest. Each one of the red, blue and yellow dots on this map shows the location of a site we are about to visit.
As the morning whistle blows at the American Cyanamid plant at Bound Brook, we shall begin our pictorial tour by jumping to the southern part of the state, to Cumberland County, near the mouth of the Delaware River. Here the village of Greenwich, like Boston, had its own tea party. This is the monument which commemorates the event. In 1774, nearly a year after the Boston Tea Party, the vessel Greyhound, loaded with tea for Philadelphia, put in to Cohansie Creek. This is the wharf where the tea was unloaded. The captain thought he could land the tea and deliver it overland to Philadelphia. The tea was stored in the cellar of a house owned by David Sutton. 40 young men of the town, disguised as Indians, broke open the storehouse, brought out the boxes, and burned every particle of tea.
New Jersey also has a Liberty Bell. It was used to ring out the tidings of independence, like the better known one in Philadelphia. It formerly hung in a school belfry, but is now in the county courthouse in Bridgeton, and reminds us of the events leading to the Battle of Trenton, the first major engagement on New Jersey soil.
Most of us forget, when we think of this painting of Washington crossing the Delaware on Christmas Day in 1776, that up to this time, the cause for freedom had known little but defeat. Washington had been forced to retreat from Long Island, Fort Washington, Fort Lee, then across New Jersey and across the Delaware River. The events which followed were, therefore, of utmost importance. This world-famous painting shows how the artist, Emanuel Leutze, visualized this recrossing of the Delaware. It is now displayed in a museum on the Pennsylvania side at Washington Crossing. This simple marker on the New Jersey side of the Delaware, a few miles above Trenton, shows the spot where the troops landed after the hazardous crossing of the ice-choked stream. State parks are maintained on both the Pennsylvania and the New Jersey sides of the river.
This building, which has been restored by the state, is variously known as the McConkie Ferry House or the Johnston Tavern. Here, George Washington spent part of Christmas night of 1776, while the rest of his troops were crossing the river. In this very chair, George Washington sat before the fire, planning his strategy for the morrow's battle.
This fountain in the park honors one of the heroes of this stage of the Revolution, John Honeyman, of Griggstown in Somerset County. While pretending to be a Tory sympathizer, Honeyman actually was one of Washington's most valuable spies. It was he who informed the general of the planned Yuletide celebration of the Hessians. This information influenced Washington's decision to attack at Trenton. Trenton, the capital of New Jersey, is the site of one of the most decisive battles of the Revolution, fought in the early morning of December 26, 1776. When Washington decided to attack the overconfident Hessians in Trenton, he had only 3,000 men under his command. He divided these into three columns. Two were unable to carry out their orders, and only the third, under his personal command, was able to make the river crossing in time for the scheduled attack. The 1,400 Hessians were caught completely by surprise, and 1,000 were either killed or captured. This monument, commemorating the victory, is 155 feet high and was designed by John Duncan. It is surmounted by a heroic statue of George Washington. The old barracks at Trenton, now a museum open to the public, were first used by colonial troops in the French and Indian Wars, and later, in the Revolutionary War, they quartered first British troops, then Hessian mercenaries, and finally American soldiers.
Just 1 week after the Battle of Trenton, Cornwallis arrived from northern Jersey with 8,000 troops and attacked Washington, who by this time had assembled 5,000 troops at Assunpink Creek. This has been called the Second Battle of Trenton. Lord Cornwallis withdrew at nightfall, planning, in his words, to bag the fox in the morning with the help of reinforcements from Princeton. Washington left his campfires burning and slipped away during the night with his army. By a right flanking march, he reached the rear of the enemy at dawn on the morning of January 3rd at Princeton. The Battle of Princeton was short and decisive, resulting in the complete defeat of the British. This historic monument by McMoney's at the southern end of Nassau Street commemorates this brilliant victory.
Nassau Hall is the oldest and most famous building at Princeton University. It was here that the final skirmish of the Battle of Princeton took place. And here also, the Continental Congress met to draft the terms of peace in 1783. It is still in use today as the administration center of the university. This is the only college building in our country which has been specifically honored with a commemorative postage stamp, issued in 1956 to celebrate the bicentennial of Nassau Hall. One of the most beautiful old houses of Princeton is Morvin, built in 1701 by Richard Stockton, the grandfather of the famous signer of the Declaration of Independence. It is now used as the official residence of the governor of the state of New Jersey. After the Battle of Princeton, Washington proceeded rapidly north to Morristown, where he took up winter quarters. This was a place well situated for defense, from which he could threaten the British in New Jersey. Cornwallis was compelled to withdraw the main body of his troops to New York.
The following summer of 1777 witnessed partisan warfare by small bands of raiders in New Jersey. In the early fall, however, Lord Howe, with a large British force, sailed south from New York, past the southernmost tip of New Jersey, around Cape Charles and up Chesapeake Bay. He took this route to avoid the Delaware River fortifications. Landing in Maryland, Howe proceeded overland, and after defeating Washington at Brandywine, Pennsylvania, on September 11th, he occupied Philadelphia, the Continental capital. In the meantime, the Continental Congress moved to Trenton and then to Princeton, thus continuing New Jersey as the center of interest in colonial affairs. Following the fall of Philadelphia, there occurred the heroic defense of the three forts, Mifflin, Billingsport, and Mercer, which prevented Lord Howe from having a free water route to the city from the Atlantic Ocean. After capturing Billingsport, the British attacked Fort Mercer on the bluff at Red Bank on October 22, 1777. Although the 2,200 Hessians outnumbered the defenders by more than 5-1, they were thrown back in disorder, leaving over 400 dead, including their commander. Meanwhile, two British men of war, the 64-gun Augusta and the 18-gun Merlin, were sunk by guns of the fort and by guns mounted on barges. This Battle of Red Bank should not be confused with the city of the same name in the northeastern part of the state.
This is the site of the earthworks thrown up on the banks of the Delaware River at Red Bank. These logs were part of an underwater chevaux de frise, a device designed to prevent the British ships from using the river. This device consisted of sunken hulks and steel barbs placed on the ends of logs, fastened beneath the surface of the river at such an angle that any vessel passing over them would either become impaled or sink from the damage to the hull. This was an engineering achievement of the first order. These logs had been in the river for 175 years up to the time of their removal a few years ago, and their remarkable preservation is also a chemical phenomenon.
The Whittall House was used as a hospital for Hessian soldiers wounded in the Battle of Red Bank. Notice the cannon shot embedded in the cement wall during the battle. This is a monument in commemoration of that battle. Within a month after this striking victory for the patriotic cause, Fort Mercer and Fort Mifflin were reduced to rubble by overpowering bombardment and were evacuated.
Across the river from Philadelphia, the Indian King Tavern in Haddonfield was the site of the first meeting of the New Jersey legislature in 1777. It was here that the bill was passed which changed the colony of New Jersey to the state of New Jersey.
In 1778, a British expeditionary force planned to burn the famous Batstow Ironworks, but was turned back by a small militia garrison reinforced by the local Minutemen. This is the entrance to the restored main buildings of the two-century-old iron foundry village of Batstow, located in the pine barrens of the 100,000-acre Wharton Tract, which is now a state park. Here is the Batstow Mansion. The importance of the pine barrens in revolutionary times was the ironworks. The iron was found in the form of bog iron. The Batstow ironworks were considered so important during the Revolution that men working in them were exempt from military service.
During Washington's encampment at Valley Forge from 1777 to 1778, this fine old house built by the Quaker, Judge William Hancock, an uncle of John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, was used as a barracks for old and wounded soldiers. This is located at Hancock Bridge in Salem County. It was here that a famous incident took place. The Quakers took no part in the war except to provide supplies. When Mad Anthony Wayne, on a foraging expedition, obtained 300 head of cattle from them, Major Simcoe of His Majesty's Army, in reprisal, proceeded to the Hancock House with about 300 men, arriving at 5 o'clock in the morning on March 21st, 1778. The two sentinels were bayoneted to death without an outcry, and the attackers moved into the house. This is the fireplace in the living room. There were 30 old and wounded men sleeping in the house when they were attacked and driven into the attic. Here, in the attic of the house, all were bayoneted without a shot being fired. The dark blood stains are still visible on the attic floor. This is the only house in the state where a massacre occurred during the Revolutionary War.
In the spring of 1778, while Washington was still at his headquarters in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, good news arrived announcing the Treaty of Alliance with France, which had been signed on February 8th by Benjamin Franklin and Louis XVI. As a result of this alliance, Sir Henry Clinton, who had replaced Lord Howe as commander-in-chief of the British forces, was ordered by authorities in London to evacuate Philadelphia and concentrate his forces at New York. Clinton left Philadelphia with his army on June 18th and began his march across New Jersey as indicated on the map. Washington followed the British movements closely and finally, with his revitalized army, intercepted them at Monmouth near Freehold. Here we see the house at Freehold, commandeered by Sir Henry Clinton as his headquarters before the Battle of Monmouth. It was erected in 1775 by the same builder who built the charming old Tennant Church. This house is now the residence of Mr. Rio Moreau.
This 100-acre field just west of Freehold saw the heaviest fighting of the Battle of Monmouth on June 28, 1778. This small tablet was erected here to commemorate the imperishable deeds of valiant Americans at this turn of the tide in the American Revolution. It was near this spot that Washington checked the insubordinate retreat of his officer, General Charles Lee, and brought a nominal victory out of confusion. The deadly June heat brought to the fore a heroine of whom all Americans are justly proud. Her name was Molly Hayes, and she had followed her husband John to the battlefield from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The battle raged all day, and Molly tirelessly carried water from this nearby spring to the parched soldiers, and earned lasting fame for herself as Molly Pitcher. When an enemy bullet wounded her husband, Molly took his place at the cannon. This impressive monument has been erected in Freehold to commemorate the Battle of Monmouth. This bas-relief on the monument shows Molly Pitcher loading the cannon.
Old Tennant Church, built in 1692, adjoins the field which saw the heaviest fighting. Here, the wounded from both sides were cared for. This delightful old Presbyterian church remains just as it was over 200 years ago, and still shelters an active congregation. The interior of this old church is a beautiful example of colonial architecture. One feels very close to our historic heritage in this hallowed place. Following the Battle of Monmouth, Washington presided over the court-martial of General Charles Lee in this colonial inn at Englishtown. Had it not been for Lee's insubordination, Washington might have won a complete victory. Instead, Clinton was able to withdraw his battered troops during the night and escape over the highlands to New York.
Let us digress for a moment from the military aspects of the Revolution and visit some of the old landmarks of that period. As the name Old First Church in Newark implies, this was the first Presbyterian church in the state. Its Scotch founders built it well, and it served alternately as a house of worship, town hall, and fort. It was founded in 1666. And its interior has been kept in the original, beautiful colonial tradition. One of the great leaders in this church, the Reverend Aaron Burr, was president of the College of New Jersey, which eventually became Princeton University.
The Alexander Hamilton Monument in Weehawken, across the river from New York, marks a great personal tragedy for our young country. Here, as a result of violent political differences, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, son of the president of the College of New Jersey, fought a duel on July 11, 1804. Hamilton fell mortally wounded. Incidentally, more than 15 duels were fought on this location before this method of settling personal differences was outlawed in 1835.
Old Trinity Episcopal Church in Newark was founded in 1733 and is another revolutionary landmark. It is located in the heart of the city near the edge of Military Park.
General Washington used the Dye Mansion in Preakness as his headquarters from July to November 1780. Among the most famous guests were Lord Stirling, Lafayette, Nathaniel Greene, Mad Anthony Wayne, and Alexander Hamilton.
The Steuben House in Hackensack was built in 1739 by John Zabriskie, who was a loyalist during the Revolutionary War. Following the war, the house was given by the state of New Jersey to Baron von Steuben as its share of the nation's debt to him for his valuable services, particularly in training the troops.
Moving south to Elizabeth, we see the Boudinot Mansion. A noted resident of this home in Elizabeth was Elias Boudinot, first president of the United States Continental Congress. Washington met the Committee of Congress here on April 23rd, 1789, on his way to New York to be inaugurated as the first President of the United States.
Liberty Hall in Elizabeth was the home of Colonial Governor William Livingston. It was built in 1773 and was also the first home of Alexander Hamilton after his arrival from the West Indies. General and Mrs. Washington were entertained here overnight on their journey to the first inauguration.
Although the roots of the Presbyterian Church in Westfield were planted in colonial times in 1728, the present structure was built in 1861. The bell is from the original church, and it was recovered from the British who had stolen it during the Revolutionary War.
The Old York Road, which in Revolutionary times was the main route between New York and Philadelphia, came along what is now known as Watchung Avenue in Plainfield. The Friends Meeting House on this street is a reminder of stagecoach days and was built by the Quakers in 1783. It is still used as a place of worship.
This Dutch colonial dwelling was built in 1746 in Plainfield by the staunch patriot Nathaniel Drake. It was a stopping place for Washington on many reconnoitering expeditions during the spring and summer of 1777. It is said that on one of these occasions, he escaped from the house by means of a secret tunnel. The house, located at Front and Plainfield Avenue, is maintained as an historical museum.
In Revolutionary times, the Van Horn House near Bound Brook was the scene of many gay parties. The genial host, Philip Van Horn, at various times entertained both British and American officers. Legend has it that General Washington himself danced with the beautiful Van Horn daughters. In 1778 to 79, two of Washington's generals, Lord Stirling and Light Horse Harry Lee, father of the famed Confederate general, made their headquarters here. The house, fully restored and standing at the top of a grassy knoll, formerly known as Phil's Hill, is now owned by the American Cyanamid Company. This brings us back to the Revolutionary War theme of our tour.
Just north of the borough of Bound Brook, on the slopes of the Watchung Mountains, is the famous Washington campground, Middlebrook. Here, at the top of a huge flagpole, a replica of the Betsy Ross flag flies day and night by a special act of Congress. It was here that the Stars and Stripes were first flown over an encampment of American soldiers on May 29th, 1777. This was 17 days before the flag was officially recognized by Congress on June 14th. Every 4th of July, an impressive ceremony is held here.
The old grist mill in Weston, now a part of the industrial town of Manville, is on the banks of the Millstone River. It is said to be the oldest mill in the state, and was built 75 years before the War for Independence began. Near here, the skirmish known as the Battle of Weston was fought in 1777.
This is a view from Washington Rock State Park at the summit of the Watchung Mountains near Donellan. The rock was a famous lookout post from which General Washington observed the movements of the British troops on the plain below.
In South Bound Brook, on the right bank of the Raritan River, stands the beautifully preserved old colonial mansion called the Stotts House, which in 1778 and 1779 was the headquarters of General von Steuben. Between Bound Brook and Somerville, in the village of Findern, the Van Vegten House, built in 1750 with brick imported from Holland, served as the headquarters of General Nathaniel Greene.
In Somerville, the seat of Somerset County, the Wallace House was General Washington's headquarters during this same period. It is now a museum open to the public. Across the street from the Wallace House is the old Dutch parsonage, built in 1751. And known as the Cradle of Rutgers University. It was here that the Reverend John Frelinghuysen established the first Dutch Reformed Theological Seminary in America, which later grew into Queen's College and finally became Rutgers University. The university is now located a few miles down the Raritan River in New Brunswick.
The charter for Queen's College was granted in 1766 by the royal governor, William Franklin, son of Benjamin Franklin. Several years later, the first substantial building, now known as Old Queen's, was built. This is now used as the administration building for Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. At this point on the campus, early in December 1776, Alexander Hamilton, with his battery of horse artillery, covered the ford of the Raritan and thus delayed the advance of the British across the river, while Washington withdrew through Princeton to Trenton and across the Delaware.
This is the famous old Bell Tavern, built in 1729. It is the oldest building in New Brunswick. The interior is noted for the spiral staircase, which was constructed with dowel pins without the use of a single nail. Many famous men of revolutionary times stopped here, among them John Adams and Benjamin Franklin.
In Buccleuch Park, on the banks of the Raritan River in New Brunswick, stands this fine old colonial house built by Anthony White in 1739. Generals Washington, Gates, and Kosciuszko were frequently entertained here. Saber scars and musket marks may still be seen in some of the rooms. A few miles north of Somerville, on the line of Washington's march from Princeton to Morristown, lies the picturesque little village of Plaquemine, where most of the houses date from revolutionary times or earlier. The most impressive building is the Presbyterian Church. In the fields nearby, the artillery brigade of Washington's army spent the winter of 1778-79, while the main body of the troops was encamped at Middlebrook.
During the two winters of 1777 and 1779 through 1780, the rugged hill country around Morristown sheltered the main encampments of the Continental Army. The Ford Mansion, built in 1772 by the ardent patriot and iron manufacturer, Colonel Jacob Ford, Jr., was Washington's headquarters during the second winter. An equestrian statue of Washington is in the foreground. This beautiful home and the historical museum in back of it house some of the finest collections of the colonial and revolutionary periods. This property and the nearby encampment in Jockey Hollow are part of the Morristown National Historical Park. The interior of this home has been authentically restored, and this view of the master bedroom shows something of the excellent taste of its owners. The kitchen of the Ford Mansion was a popular meeting place for Washington and his staff during the most severe winter ever recorded in New Jersey. This room was undoubtedly the warmest place in the house because of the huge fireplace and bake ovens. Much of the original furniture remains in the house, and among the most valuable is this tall secretary at which the commander-in-chief penned some of the most important letters of his military career. This famous painting of Washington by Gilbert Stuart hangs over the mantel in the museum. Another point of interest in the museum is the three-dimensional replica of Washington greeting Lafayette upon his return from France in May 1780. Lafayette brought the welcome news that a second French expedition was being sent to aid the Americans.
The main Continental Army of approximately 10,000 men was encamped in the Jockey Hollow area during the hard winter of 1779 to 1780. This log hut is a reproduction of an officer's quarters. A visit to this reconstructed hospital makes us realize that a man had to be rugged to survive any treatment. Here there were dirt floors, no bunks, no ventilation, no antiseptics, and no anesthetics, except possibly whiskey. Across the road from the hospital is the old burying ground, where lie the remains of the Continental soldiers who did not survive that bitter winter. The proximity of the burying ground to the hospital may be significant. The Wick House, built about 1750, served as military headquarters for Major General Arthur Sinclair during the Continental Army encampment. The kitchen of the Wick House is a fine example of early colonial farm living. Note the fireplace and the cooking utensils, the sturdy furniture, the hand-carved wooden bowl, and the bundles of herbs hung to dry on the beams.
A short distance from Jockey Hollow, on the Bernardsville-Morristown Road, stands an old mill, dating back to colonial times, which ground grain for George Washington and his Continental Army. This mill was in operation until just recently on a private basis, and it is still one of the show places of historic New Jersey.
One of the earliest iron forges in New Jersey may be seen at Oxford, in the hills of Warren County, west of Morristown. It was constructed by Jonathan Robeson in 1743 and was one of several hundred in this part of the state.
Another important revolutionary forge was that at Ringwood Manor, now a state park, located in the Ramapo Mountains of northern Passaic County. Ringwood lies about midway on the route between Morristown and West Point, and was, therefore, a customary stopping place for Washington and other revolutionary officers. It is believed that this chain is part of the original West Point chain, forged at Sterling and Ringwood, and possibly other forges in this area. The chain was 500 yards long. Each link was made of 2 1/4 inch iron and is about 2 feet long. The chain was constructed with a swivel every 100 feet and had a crevice every 1,000-pound section. It was stretched across the Hudson River on logs to prevent the passage of the British ships. Of 5 attempts, this was the only obstruction of the Hudson River that was successful.
Dispatch riders, as indicated by this imposing monument in the yard of the old First Church in Orange, performed an indispensable service in the communication system of the Colonial Army.
This fine old Presbyterian church in Springfield has had a very inspiring history. Its pastor, the Reverend James Caldwell, was known by the British as the High Priest of the Revolution. The British made 2 desperate efforts to get at Washington's troops quartered at Morristown in June 1780. Each time, the badly outnumbered militia turned back the redcoats at Springfield. This militia statue is located in front of the church where, during the Second Battle of Springfield, the Reverend Caldwell inspired the fighting Americans. When wadding for the defenders' guns gave out, he rushed into the church, took Watts' hymnals, and passed them out to the men with the ringing shout, "Now give 'em Watts, boys!" This became a battle cry that has rolled down through the years. The Cannonball House in Springfield is one of the four original buildings which survived the battle. A cannonball lodged in the walls of the house during the battle gives it its name. As you will see from the sign, it was restored by the Springfield Historical Society, and it houses an interesting and valuable collection from colonial times. The English troops fell back from Springfield after this last battle of consequence on Jersey soil. From this point on, the cause of independence moved towards victory and peace.
In Somerset County, only a short distance from Princeton, lies the small village of Rocky Hill. Here stands the famed Berrien House, which was the headquarters of General Washington during the final months of the Revolution in 1783. It was here that he wrote his farewell address to the army. 8 years after the first shot was fired at Lexington, Massachusetts, the United States was acknowledged and recognized as an independent nation. At this point, let us return to our home base.
Here from the roof of the maintenance building of the Bound Brook plant of the American Cyanamid Company, you can see the Van Horn House, the White House in the center. In the far background at the right lies the Middlebrook Campground, where, you remember, the Betsy Ross Revolutionary flag flies day and night. Here, where our historic past blends with our modern industrial life, we bring our tour to a close with the plant whistle, this time at sunset.
To those who work in the Bound Brook plant, this whistle means a change in the shift, and to us here, it means the end of our tour of historic New Jersey. The Cyanabrook Camera Club hopes that this pictorial review will deepen your appreciation of New Jersey's historical legacy and the great freedoms which it is our privilege as Americans to enjoy and defend.